Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, as we turn again to these words of Jesus, make them live. Make them live in our hearts, dividing, piercing through bone and marrow to get to the real heart of the matter in each of our lives. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear how your Spirit is leading us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Back in 2016, the comedian Jim Carrey was invited to present the award for the best picture at the Golden Globes, and as he came out on stage and the applause died down, he said this, "Thank you. I am two-time Golden Globe winner Jim Carrey. You know, when I'm going to sleep at night, I'm not just a guy going to sleep. I'm two-time Golden Globe winner Jim Carrey going to get some well-needed shut-eye. And when I dream, I don't just dream any old dreams, no sir. I dream about being three-time Golden Globe winner Jim Carrey. Because then I would be enough. It would finally be true, and I could stop this terrible search for what I know ultimately won't fulfill me." He may not have used the words, but Jim Carrey was searching for righteousness. He was hungry and thirsty for what it took to be enough. We all need to be enough. We need to be enough before God. We need to be enough before other people. We need to be enough even in our own eyes. We hunger and we thirst for a righteous standing. What are you hungry and thirsty for this morning? Growing up, many of my family Sunday lunches were spent at local Mexican food restaurants. We'd finish up at whatever church my dad was serving, and we'd pile in the car, and we'd go to Rodrigo's, or we'd go to Ricardo's, or we'd go to Manuel's, and all of these little places I have really clear memories of. Sarah and I did the same thing. There was a place right across the street from our church in California. I sit at my office between services, and I even see some of you walking down to Santa Catarina's at the corner. But you know the problem with Mexican food restaurants, don't you? Bowl after bowl of warm, salty, crispy chips and salsa and queso and guacamole. By the time our enchiladas come out, we're stuffed. How many of us are filling ourselves up with the wrong thing? We're ravenous, ravenous for comfort. Just let me feel the wind in my hair. Let me feel the sun on my face. Let me forget about my problems for just a little while. We're ravenous for control. I just need to make sure that everything around me is going the direction that I need it to go. We're ravenous for approval. We're ravenous for fulfillment. But no matter how many Instagram likes we get, no matter how many friendly compliments we hear, no matter how often we are able to fulfill our foolproof plan, we're not going to be satisfied. Is your soul thirsty? Are you hungry this morning? Do you feel an insatiable longing for something? The words of C.S. Lewis ring more and more true. He said, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." Or the prayer of St. Augustine, "God, you have formed us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." I read this beatitude and I doubt. Is it possible? Is it really possible that this blessing, this satisfaction, this promise of satisfaction, is it possible that it's true? Well, it depends on what you're eating and drinking. Jesus says that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be satisfied. Now, what is this righteousness? Well, righteousness is an attribute of God. In fact, in some ways, you can say righteousness is identical to God. When we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we're wanting to become more and more like God by becoming more and more conformed into the image of Christ. Now, the Bible uses this word many different places, but the kind of righteousness that Jesus is speaking of here in the Beatitudes is different normally than what we read in Paul's letters. Paul's emphasis is on our legal standing before God. You know some of these passages. Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." Or in Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 3, "Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." Paul goes on to say, "To the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. This is what theologians call the imputed righteousness of Christ given to us because we believe in Jesus by faith alone. Jesus and Paul aren't contradicting one another. Here in the Beatitudes, the righteousness that Jesus talks about is an experiential righteousness. It's not an imputed righteousness, it is what theologians call an imparted righteousness. It is an experience of growing more and more like Jesus. Now, it is founded on the imputed righteousness that is ours by faith alone, because we are united to Christ alone. But here, Jesus is talking about the character of someone who has been made alive by the Holy Spirit and who now hungers and thirsts for a righteousness that one day will define both them and the entire creation. There's a sense here that the one who hungers and thirsts knows that there's something missing. When God imputes righteousness to you, that standing that you have in His legal court, nothing is missing. But our experience of growing more and more like Jesus, we know that there's something missing there. We can see that creation itself is still groaning under sin. Let me ask you, how much do you hunger for this? How much do you thirst for this kind of righteousness? How many of us are waking up every day with a singular desire to see ourselves and to see the entire world conformed to God's will? There are moments, right? There are times when we feel that. Maybe particularly when we have been convicted of sin. When there's some sense in us of how far we are from that righteousness. Or maybe when we're suffering the effects of the fall. When this world, when our bodies, when other people have turned against us. And we long for the righteousness that describes who God is. To one day be true of everything and everyone. But this desire doesn't characterize our lives as much as we want it to. And that's in part, guys, because we don't actually believe Jesus' promise. We don't think that He can fill us up where we're hungry. We don't think that He can satisfy what we're really thirsty for, and that's why we seek out other sources of nourishment. I know what mine are. If we pass the mic around, maybe you could identify yours, but just for a second, think. What is it that you're looking for? Where do you find solace? What checks the box for you? See, our problem isn't a lack of willpower. It's not even a lack of knowledge. Our problem is unbelief. How do we counteract that? How do we push up against the unbelief in our own lives? Well, we do it first and foremost through worship. The way we cultivate this Spirit-wrought characteristic in our life is first and foremost through worship. When we worship God, we are proclaiming the loveliness of our Savior. And that's what makes the ugliness of those empty calories we chase so much more apparent to us. When we humble ourselves, when we take a moment in our service and confess our sins, we are astonished again and again by the righteousness of God. It's that righteousness that He imparts to us. That's what He's giving to us, making us more and more like Him. That's what makes us blessed. You've heard me say over and over in this sermon series that if you are a Christian, you are already blessed. These virtues are not somewhere out there waiting for you to climb the ladder of your own effort to attain them. They're gifts. They're characteristics that are true of you if you have been made new by God. But because we have to be honest with ourselves and see how far we have to go and how we sometimes hunger and thirst after things that are not righteousness, because of that, we need help. We need help to lean into this beatitude. We need help to grow in our grasp of these gifts. We need an appetizer. We need to whet our appetites. How do we do that? What's going to whet your appetite this morning so that you continue to grow in this hunger and thirst for righteousness? The first thing that you have to do is to embrace your lack of righteousness. Jesus blesses those who hunger and thirst, not for those who think they have already attained. And so the very first thing that you have to do is come to terms with what you lack. And that means that sin and failure and frustration, Those things that you think keep you far from God, those are the very things that qualify you for the blessing of this beatitude. If you are willing to name it. It's only as you deal honestly with what you lack that you will hunger and thirst for what only God can provide. That's the first. How else do you whet your appetite? The second thing that I would encourage you with is to make this a matter of very ambitious prayer. Make it a matter of deep desire before the Lord. Call out to Him, Lord, help me. Help me to live out of my justification, into my sanctification, and toward my glorification. Those are the three great tenses of our salvation. You have been justified. You have been declared righteous because of Christ. You are being sanctified. You are being made righteous by the imparted righteousness of Christ. And someday you will be glorified. You will be confirmed in righteousness. You won't have to hunger for it. You won't have to thirst for it because it will define you. What God has begun, He will most certainly complete. So call out to Him for it. Make it a matter of prayer. Third, live in such a way that declares to yourself and to others that you actually believe this promise. Live in such a way that demonstrates your belief in this promise. Don't settle for the chips and salsa. Instead, cultivate within you a longing for more of God's presence, for more of His righteousness to be made real in you. Now, let's use some of the Apostle Paul's language. In the Apostle Paul's language, part of this means putting off. Putting off things in your life that promise you satisfaction, but they never deliver, do they? In fact, you've got to go after more and more of it and more extreme versions of it to even get the feeling that it once gave you. So in some ways, you've got to put off. But Paul goes on, he says, you also need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Remind yourself of Jesus' very words here in verse 6. His promise to you. You are already blessed. You will one day be satisfied. Until that time, make use of the means of grace. This isn't just some old piece of bread or some old cup of wine. This is how God actually meets your needs right now. It's not all there is. It's not the final meal. It's a meal on the way. It's like snacks that we give our kids in the car, right? As we're heading toward grandma's house, as we're going someplace exciting, we give them just enough to keep going. God meets you in your lack, and He gives you Himself in bread and wine, in words spoken from a preacher, in words printed on a page, in the waters of baptism. Use the means of grace. But also surround yourself with people who will encourage you in it. Who are you listening to? Who are you giving your time and attention to? People that are going to pull your focus away from the righteousness of God Himself? Or folks that you can walk this pilgrim life with? Here's how the math works. Every little bit of satisfaction you enjoy in Christ increases your hunger for Christ. The more that you seek first the kingdom of God, the more you are going to be fulfilled in Him. God is faithful to fulfill His promise. He will satisfy you. Fourth, let me encourage you, particularly those of you who are in the throes of life right now, who are either heading off, like my kids, toward college, or thinking about your career, you've got young families that you're working through, you are making plans. Let me encourage you to be ambitious for holiness, to make plans to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I read this week that back in the early 70s, nearly one-third of the graduating class from Harvard Law School applied to work for the political activist Ralph Nader. Why? Because they thought they could make a difference. Now, I don't care about Nader's politics for this. They were ambitious. They had a singular desire to pursue a difference in this world. Is that how we make our plans as Christians? Friends, that job you're contemplating, that person that you want to date, that city that you might move to, is it reflecting a desire for Christ's own righteousness? Is it going to lead you in that direction? Or are you going to find yourself pulled away, lost at sea, not quite sure what direction you're going to go? Plan for righteousness. Make it a goal in your life. Many of you know that I love dinner invitations. But the ones that are best always include this phrase, come hungry. Because I know that I'm going to leave there satisfied. My nanny, my great-grandmother from Hammond, Louisiana, she always used to say, you'll leave fat and fine. That's what Jesus is promising here in this beatitude. You're going to be fat and fine. Folks, we've been poor in spirit. We've had to mourn our sins. We've had to stand in a place of meekness. Now here in verse 6, Jesus begins to turn us. He begins to lift our eyes up to the fullness and satisfaction that only He can give. Having been brought to the end of ourselves, there is nowhere else to go but to God. And He promises that when we get to Him, there will be satisfaction far beyond what the world offers, far beyond what we ourselves can manufacture for ourselves. This is what Jesus says in the Gospel of John. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Ultimately, the only satisfaction that we can have in this life or in the next, it must come from God. It must come through our communion with His Son. And friends, the promise of Jesus is that only He can give us that right standing with God. Only He can make us enough. Enough before God, enough before others, enough even in ourselves. Only He can truly satisfy the deepest longings of our hearts. Folks, the hunger and thirst that we try to solve with so many other things, it can ultimately and finally and fully only be met with Jesus. Do you know why? Because He knows you. He created you. And He actually likes you. And that means that He is going to faithfully guide you through this life and into eternal life, where you will be finally confirmed righteous forever in God's sight. Let's pray. Oh, Father, awaken in us the hunger and thirst for Jesus. Help us to see where we lack. Help us to honestly acknowledge where we have sought relief and satisfaction. And then lift our eyes. Lift our eyes and tell us that we are blessed. We are blessed because we don't yet have what we desire, what we need. But you are faithful. You are faithful and you will do it. Oh God, from that place of blessing, propel us forward in this life, we pray. Amen.